Hi there, thanks for tuning in. I'm Connor Pike, a writer on the thought leadership team at Siemens Digital Industry Software. In this podcast, we are continuing our series of discussions between myself and Dale Tutt, our VP of Industry Strategy. In each episode, Dale and I will be joined by experts from around Siemens Digital Industry Software to discuss the trends, technologies, and opportunities affecting some of the largest and most important industries in the world. Today, though, we have a slight programming change. For this episode, I asked my colleague Nick Finberg to guest host in my stead. Nick is our resident sustainability expert on the thought leadership team, making him a great fit for our guest today. And speaking of which, Nick and Dale are joined by Aaron Davila, head of sustainability at Siemens Digital Industries. They're going to discuss how companies are pursuing sustainability today, some of the challenges that stand in the way of that goal, and how a digitalization strategy can help companies to achieve the sustainability demands of tomorrow. So please enjoy.
So welcome, Aaron. Can you give a brief introduction, summary of your experience, and maybe what you've been working on lately here at Siemens?
Sure. So I have the pleasure of being responsible for sustainability within our digital industries portfolio. And what that really means is I have three lenses of which that I'm able to look at sustainability through. The first is looking at our own operations, the energy that we use and the resources that we consume to develop software, to support data centers, to produce products, to drive our fleet, to manage our business travel. That's our first dimension and our first lens that we look through. The second dimension that I have responsibility for is our products. So we make a lot of physical products. So what resources are being consumed there across the whole life cycle? So looking upstream at our supply chain through those operations I just spoke to. And then also, most importantly, for a lot of our products is in that use phase. How much energy are they consuming in that use phase for our customers? And then the third dimension is taking the tools that we create and really helping industry become more sustainable. And those are really the playing fields that I get to operate in. And it's really a great time to be working in sustainability because I really feel like the timing is starting to line up, that we have the right motivation. We have the technology is available for us to do something here. And now I think industry is really starting to focus on making sustainability a priority.
Awesome. So sustainability seems to be an increasingly central part of many companies' strategies for the future. I might ask, why now? What is driving companies of all types and sizes to make sustainability a central focus moving forward?
So I think the first thing is, you know, if you look back in the last 3 to 5 years, we saw a lot of companies making net zero type commitments, which are really great and really noble, but they didn't necessarily have a plan on how to get there. And as you look forward, 2030 and 2040 are not as far away as they once were. So I think companies are now looking to really put focus on the how we get there and put investment behind that. And that's driving it in one angle. The other angle that I see a lot of is governments and governmental agencies are also trying to drive legislation. If you look especially to the European Union, they have released the first 2 of 6 chapters of the EU taxonomy on climate adaptation and climate mitigation. And those chapters in the taxonomy are really about trying to classify products as being relevant to these sustainability topics or not, which is not mandatory. However, coming in fiscal 25, they have what they call the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, or CSRD, which is mandatory for anyone who wants to be doing business in the EU. And this requires companies to have much more transparency on their environmental impacts than what they have today. So I think that that's one of the main things that is driving innovation. On the other side of that, we're seeing investment and capital expenditure driving towards sustainability. This comes, in my view, from one main lever, which is ESG funds, which have been outpacing the market in doubling year over year, if you look back over the last 5 years. The other piece of it, which I think is really interesting in the US, is that we've got the Inflation Reduction Act, or the IRA, which has a lot of incentives in it for sustainability activities within the US. So I think that that's another place that you're having some funding available to help you meet the plans that you've laid out. And I think the third thing, especially as we look at consumer industries, is that we have consumers that are much more aware and really put priority on environmental impacts or the minimization of those impacts. And they're willing to pay a premium for that. So if we look into the food and beverage industries, any consumer products, they are really leading the charge in many ways based on that consumer demand.
Dale, does that kind of drive with what you're seeing at an industry perspective and an industry level?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when, you know, as Aaron described, a lot of the, you know, the changes to the regulatory environment has certainly, you know, driven the need for a lot of companies in a lot of our industries to really shift their focus to how to operate a little bit more sustainable. There certainly is a lot of, I would say, the image piece of it, being a good corporate citizen, but, you know, that both customers and employees want to be associated with companies that are being good stewards and, you know, that they have a sustainability plan. And so we see that driving a lot of it. And I think as well that a lot of these companies then see that it becomes a source of competitive advantage that, you know, if you are perceived as, you know, with the right image and that you are getting some of these, these financial benefits, that they've got to start their sustainable journey. They've got to be able to demonstrate more than just saying it, but actually doing it. So I think that's really has become a main focus of conversation in boardrooms across the whole world. So it's been a big change over the last, 4 or 5 years where we've really seen a lot more focus now on sustainability.
You know, Dale, I just wanted to add to what you said there a little bit, which I think is really interesting, is that we see companies are really seeing sustainability as being a future license to operate. And we see some of those forerunners and thought leaders trying to do it faster so they can obtain that competitive advantage to get there first. If everyone's going to have to get there eventually, they want to win the race and take any additional share or margin that might be available in the short term.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And surprisingly, the companies that are getting there first are also starting to see the benefits that they're using less energy. They're producing less waste. And so it becomes, almost self-fulfilling at that point in time that you started down the path for one reason, but then you started to see some of the advantages to your competitive position. And so I think a lot of companies then move beyond just talking about it. And that's when they really start to see the benefits of it. And it, I don't know, I called it once the gift that keeps on giving, at one of my previous, previous jobs where once we started saving money, it was like, hey, this is actually a pretty good deal. So it, you know, works out really well.
So it sounds like that shift in perspective from seeing sustainability as a requirement to seeing the kind of economic benefit of it might be a first step. Are there some other first steps that you're seeing companies take to act on sustainability?
Yeah, I can take this one first. It's just, I think that companies, that for so many years as they've developed new products, they focus a lot on performance or styling or cost of the product. If you're, designing airplanes, you might be worrying about the weight of the product. And so you would see, you would see that there were a lot of focus on these items. But I think now as companies are starting to get involved in it, that just really understanding the full scope of what the challenge is, it's what's the information, what are the regulations and what are they doing in their current systems? And so I think that's one of the biggest first steps that a lot of these companies really struggle with and how to evaluate their sustainability.
And I think the first steps are actually part often of gaining that bigger, better understanding. And I think something you just said there, Dale, I touch on is that there's information and there's data that you need that comes from a variety of sources, but there's also requirements and market considerations coming at you from so many different angles. And I think a big part of it is being able to consolidate all of that information down and really understand what your impacts are across your life cycle. So really being able to combine what's going on beyond your gate to gate. And I know for so many years in manufacturing, we would focus on what's coming in our front gate and what's going out our back gate. And now, with what's being required from a governmental perspective in reporting is you really have to understand the entire life cycle of that product. And that really requires people to be working together and collaborating with their supply chains, with their distribution chains, with their customers in ways that they never really have before.
There's so much information to look at now. So, Aaron, how do companies manage this? It's they already had a lot of data. And they were already, optimizing products based on a set of parameters. So, what are your thoughts? How are companies actually overcoming that challenge of just, managing this mountain of data now?
Yeah, I said this last year somewhere, and I think about it a lot, is that You know, we continually design or put together tools that make design engineers' jobs easier, and then we give them more requirements that make it harder again. And it's a kind of continual cycle, right? So I think about that a lot. Really, the best way to ensure sustainability is to design it in. And what you need to then do is have those sustainability requirements, how much CO2 you want to, or you're willing to accept it emitting, how much water you're looking at it being able to use, how far you want it to travel. All of these additional requirements really need to get put into your overall requirements management system the same way you would with a performance requirement, with a size requirement, a weight, a color. All of these are requirements for products moving forward. And, you know, like I said, in a way, I feel bad for those design engineers that we continue to make their job more complicated. However, the good news is we have the tools where we're integrating and able to present these trade-offs. And I think, you know, the one phrase that often comes to me, and I think it's a huge challenge for businesses to overcome, is turning data into decisions. And that's what we've been working to do with a lot of our design tools, is to put more and more intelligence into them that allows us to be able to turn those data points into decisions.
Yeah, I'll just add one last piece to that, Aaron. I mean, totally agree with you that characterization. We give them tools and then we give them more work to do. And but you know, all kidding aside, it really is enabling them. These tools are empowering them to be much more innovative and to really consider more and more of these parameters. And so I think that's what's so great about the current opportunities that we have. You know, as digitalization tools really, you know, continue to mature and help those engineers to be more productive and to, you know, automate some of the administrative tasks that now it's actually making it much easier to incorporate new requirements such as sustainability, and whether it's reducing carbon usage or overall energy usage or just reducing waste. I think we've in some respects, it's really helping them to be much more innovative and much more creative in solving some of these problems. So I think that's been a pretty good outcome with that, even though we do keep finding new things for them to do. Keeps them busy.
Right. There's always another angle we're coming at. And I think that one of the concepts that we've been talking a bit about here at Siemens is the idea of collective intelligence, and where, you know, no one entity is going to be able to be fully sustainable. In order to optimize over an entire ecosystem, you have to have the intelligence of that ecosystem. And a lot of that is putting it in those design engineers' hands, but also putting it in those production managers' hands and putting it in those logistics providers' hands and pulling that data together. I think that we see a future where there's a lot more information and data sharing, and people are collaborating in a really different and more fundamental way, looking at an entire value chain optimization rather than optimizing for my gate to gate or your gate to gate, looking at that entire value chain of a product. And I completely appreciate that feels daunting, but I believe that we have the technology that we just need to be able to continue to use and apply to these types of problems.
So that's it for part one of our discussion on sustainability and the future of industries. We'll be back soon with the conclusion to Dale, Aaron, and Nick's conversation in part two. Thanks very much for listening, and we hope you will tune in again when we return.